the Empowered Hour. It's your girl, Athena, and...
Renata, how are you?
Girl, I'm fine. I'm trying to get myself together. I am, still in a daze. My baby's 25 now. Woo-woo! So,
I know. Oh, crazy.
I got a grown woman. She can rent her own cars now. But... but how you doing?
I am doing good. Just walk it away. Try to be an adult. Try to live life.
That part.
All the things.
Well, you know, I don't want to dilly-dally too long because I know we have a special guest. But so we have a guest today, Renata.
We do. Just
are we special?
All these accomplished people that we get to talk to. Oh.
I know, right? Like, makes set my game up because listen, we keep getting the actors, the directors, the writers, the people who do so much. So
hello, and welcome to the Empowered Hour with Empowered Living Inc. It's your girl Athena Ayed.
Renata, how are you?
Girl, I'm tired. Listen, I will tell you, like, I know we've been, like, missing in action. I'm sure somebody called out an APD because we have not done a show in a minute. But I'm tired. But how you doing?
Ditto. Last week was a challenging week, but everything is okay.
Amen. Thank God for the release and relief.
Amen.
So, because we got a bunch of people who are on the panel today and having a discussion with us, I am going to shut up. So we can let Lady J talk about how people can listen, tune in, and be a part of. So, Lady J, take it away.
If you'd like to share with your family, friends, and followers on all the different ways that they can tune in to JQLM Radio, this is what you would share. You can tune in live by downloading the JQLM Radio app on your Apple or Android devices. You can also listen live via Alexa, the TuneIn app, the Simple Radio app, and a host of other platforms of which you can find on our website, where you can also listen live at egoentertainmentnet.com/JQLM-radio. Or just visit egoentertainmentnet.com and click the button right there on the homepage. You can also connect with us via our website or social media at JQLM Radio. That's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Additionally, you can email us at jqlmradio@gmail.com. Find us under our parent company, Ego Entertainment Network, on social media at EGOENTNET. That's Ego Ent Net. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at Ego Entertainment Network. And last but not least, make sure you like, subscribe, and share our YouTube channel, Ego TV Network.
All right. So it's a
seriously.
It's okay. I don't expect you to remember all that. That's okay. But I'm very, very excited about all our special guests that we have today.
Because June is Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month. So what better way to kick this off or finish this up or wrap this up, however you want to say it. This, I guess it is mid-month. Been talking to some therapists because, you know, mind is a terrible thing to waste and mental health is a terrible thing to ignore. So, yeah, let's introduce. I mean, I guess should we let them introduce themselves? Because I don't want to say nobody's government name if they don't want it out there.
I said we let them introduce themselves. However, we would kind of we're biased why we like these therapists so much because they are a part of Empowered Living. But we will bring everybody on and let them introduce themselves. So, hi, guys.
Hey, y'all.
Hello.
Who wants to go first? Who wants to flip a coin?
I'll go first since I'm the only male, probably, right?
Yep. Look, I'm coming in with a deep voice. We're coming in with a deep voice, okay?
I'm in.
I was just born that way. I'm sorry for you.
Coming in all sensual. Hold on now, ladies. No, I'm kidding. Anyway, go ahead.
My name is Andre Terrett, and I am a behavioral specialist. My specialty is children 0 to 13.
And on the weekends, he does voiceovers, and he likes long walks in the park. I'm just kidding.
Well, we can keep that part. I can't, though.
Okay. Okay, who's gonna go next?
Hello, I'm Marcy Grayson. I'm a licensed mental health counselor. I'm a hypnotherapist.
I don't want to butcher I want to let our guests talk about all the great things that make him who he
is. I have been working brain, and I do a lot of solution focused therapy with just different people. I do a lot of work with kids as well as adults outside of Empower Living as well as with Empower Living. So, and I've known Athena and Renata for a long time. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, queen.
All right. And Patrice?
Hey, y'all. This is Patrice Stokes here. I am licensed in school counseling. I've been doing counseling therapy for over 15 years, working with diverse populations from youth, young adults, and families. My particular passion is working with youth and young adults anywhere from high school up to out of college, and families doing creative also therapy as well, using poetry and photography. And I've been doing therapy with Empowered Living now for a little less than a year, and then, of course, outside of Empowered Living for 15 plus years.
Okay. Look at all this education. In one spot. Woof.
Yes. All those black excellence.
I know, right? Just wonderful. So I guess my first question, I feel like most people ask therapists, is what made you decide to become a therapist?
I guess I'll say that I wanted to become a therapist because I experienced therapy for myself. When I was in college, which was when someone explained to me what therapy was, which I think, especially in the Black culture, is still stigmatized. And so that's what opened my eyes to wanting therapy for myself. And then when I saw the need for it, because I did college ministry before becoming a therapist and did a lot of counseling, that is where I saw the need to become a therapist, and then went back to school after my undergrad. It took 10 years to go back to the school to get my master's. But once I realized I wanted to go back to become a therapist, that's when I knew it was important because of the huge need of mental health and mental wellness in the Black community and communities of color.
Marcy, what about you?
Well, for me, I think therapy was an avenue to better express what it was that was just going on in my environment. And being able to see that other people were in the same boat. And so many years ago, I think right out of school, counseling was something I was interested in, and it evolved into doing therapy and, you know, getting a degree and doing all of that. I kind of always been that person people open up to, and, you know, that innate counselor comes out of you and you're helping people with stuff and you're like, hold on, wait a minute. I'm crying in my room too. Hold on, wait a minute. So I think for me, it's really my focus has always been not necessarily like the it's just the overall wellness of a person, that holistic understanding of who that person is as a whole being. And so I thought, you know, the therapeutic avenue would be a good way of looking at that and pursuing that and helping people to move into like an overall, like a richness for life. And that's where I am now. It's just wanting people to know that, you know, there is a richness in life and being able to be more aware of that. I mean, having that perspective change, and that's something that I had to journey through myself. So that was one of the main reasons to change that perspective. It's always, there's more than one way to look at something. You know, there's more solutions than you think. And I think that's why I pursued it.
Okay. And Andre, what about you?
Well, growing up in the hood of Gary, Indiana, I witnessed a lot of things in my community, And as such, I often say to myself, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. I do want to be like this. I do want to be like this. And creating that path in my head caused more questions than answers. So by the age of about 15, I knew then I wanted to be a psychiatrist. And fast forward to undergrad, making it through 4 years of internships at state hospitals and mental health agencies, graduated, went on to get into a medical program, and realized the first year rotation, I wasn't cut out to do the psychiatric rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it was the next best way for me to achieve my goals of being a psychiatrist. Ultimately, I just wanted to help people. And so it was a natural inclination for me. So I'm currently a licensed guidance counselor, a minister, and an educator. So I use the culmination of years of experience, both social and professional, to best benefit all of my clients.
Okay.
That's it in a nutshell.
Okay. So what I'm hearing for all three of you is something that you went through personally kind of led you to go towards the path of therapy, and your desire to help other people is a big reason as to why you went into therapy. Oh, did I get that right?
That would be
sum it.
Up. That would be it.
All right.
Okay.
Yep, I would agree.
Okay. So, because each one of you kind of have similar specialties, but they're also totally different. So, what made you pick your specialty? So, Marcy, we'll have you go first.
Wow, what made me pick my specialty?
Or did you fall into it? Because sometimes we fall into our specialty.
I think what happened for me initially, I wanted to work with families and couples and things like that. And as I recognized that there was so much more to being a therapist than just, you know, you can niche down and you can, I love to explore. I love to research. I love to see all the different avenues, the back end of things. And so narrowing it down, I thought I'm more of a generalist. You know, I love working with groups, individuals, couples, families. I love system work. I love all kind of analytical work. And so I think for me, when it came to my license and what I tend to move towards is basically looking at the solutions for whatever population comes my way, you know. And so I think that's why I decided to do a more generalized license. So licensed mental health counselor instead of a marriage or family therapy counselor, therapist. And so that's why I moved towards. My initial degrees are in family, a lot of family system stuff. And then I moved towards other things. Like even now, I do hypnotherapy, and now I do spiritual work with people. I do all kinds of different things. I kind of help people go into that fullness of, you know, who they are and revealing things about themselves that they didn't know before and that they had the capacity for. So I guess I kind of did kind of just, it's just the evolution of my journey went into having more of a overall viewpoint of things, you know. So I guess you could say I fell into it.
You know, sometimes falling is a good thing. That's what they say. But
you fall sometimes, you know.
Not on concrete. When you fall into a specialty, yes. Well, not when you fall on concrete, because that hurts you a little bit.
I said some specialties, it hurt when you fall into those too.
Real talk, Renata. That's for real.
So I know we need to take a break. So we will take a break, and then we will have Patrice go, and then we'll have Andre come, and they will answer the questions, kind of how did they end up in their specialty. So we will have a quick break and be right back. And before we went to the rush break, the question that was asked was, how did they end up with their specialties? Whether they fell into them or they just chose them. I mean, Marcy gave her reasoning behind it, so we'll go to the treat. So why did you pick your specialty, Patrice?
I picked my specialty. It really came from my passion in ministry. My background is completely different from where I am today. I actually went to college at Purdue and studied animal sciences with
the intention to become a veterinarian because that's all I wanted to be since the age of 4. And so when I was in college, I got involved with a ministry called the Impact Movement, which focused primarily on reaching college students of African descent to help them grow spiritually, emotionally, and financially. And one of the things that pretty much since I was in college, I mean, since high school, really, people would always come to me for counseling. And at that point, I didn't really understand why, but I was always a listening ear. And when I ended up doing college ministry in college, that became my passion and my focus. And then when I graduated, which I did get my undergrad, my bachelor's degree in animal sciences, I actually had a minor in psychology and had planned to change it. But my mom will deny it to this day. But she says that it wasn't a good degree to get because you really could make money from it. So I kept my degree in animal sciences, did an internship out of college, actually being, I was a missionary. And that was kind of a foreign concept when I was telling people about it because they thought missionaries were just out of the country. And so when I explained that my passion and my calling was reaching college students on the college campus, and when as I shared that, the more that I continued to understand and see like the evolution of my calling was beyond just college or reaching students of African descent. So throughout college, when I was doing college ministry, I had a lot of conversations with students about how they barely made it to college, especially students of color. They barely made it to college because of all the ups and downs that, you know, some things were outside of their control. Some of them were family related, you know, environment related. And so I realized that I needed to start younger. And so that's when I decided to go back to school. And I got my master's degree in counseling and counseling education with a license in school counseling. And as I started working in the school system in high school, I was connecting the dots with college and high school students. And then from doing that, then I started working with DCS families and just families in general. And then as I started working with individuals from every age range, from pretty much high school on up, and even some like middle school, but my passion really was like high school and up, because that was the time frame that they were really making big decisions for their life. I realized that those were the things that I was really passionate about, because there's so many young people that are making life decisions at very young ages, but a lot of times without the guidance in terms of emotional well-being, as well as the spiritual, the mental, and all of that. And so being able to incorporate my skills from a ministry standpoint into the school systems, but even beyond that, and just the things that I've learned over the years in doing counseling and also getting my license, I connected all those things together to do what I do today, which is a big part of what I do with my organization, with Inspired on Purpose. And it's about inspiring people to see themselves through a different lens, to find healing in their God-given purpose using therapy and photography. And so I use my skills and passion of therapy, of poetry, because I'm a poet, and then photography as therapeutic means of helping people to heal. And that's really what spun off all the other things that I do, with like putting on poetry events as a therapeutic safe space for people to express themselves creatively, but also use it as a form of helping, especially people of color, enter into the thought of therapy, because I've gotten a lot of people that are open to therapy because they start writing. And that was really what opened up the creative part of the therapy and the healing. I use some like cognitive behavioral therapy too, but that's kind of been my journey and my specialty and what I do today and why I love it.
Okay. Thank you. Well, Andre, what about you?
Well, first I learned how to use the mute button the correct way and not stop.
Okay. That's all right. Thank you.
Well, it would be. So, but what led me to my current specialty of children 0 to 13 is basically acknowledging my passion. However, once I realized, being a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we get a lot of Bible study over the years, right? And when I finally came into the revelation of the word that said that your gift will open doors for you, it'll make ways for you, that's when I truly started operating in my giftedness. And honestly, I had to go back and repent because for years, I would tell people, just follow your passion, just follow your passion, just follow your passion. It'll open doors for you. But it's not your passion because the Word of God tells us that your gift will make way for you. And sometimes what you're passionate about is not necessarily what's gifted to you or your gifted area. Sometimes it's just what you like doing, right? And they can be two totally different things. And so for me, acknowledging that, yes, I was following my passion for helping people, but my specialization came from my giftedness. I looked at research, because I love data, and having failed at math but succeeded in statistics, I utilized that data to just figure out what I needed to do in order to be happy and make a living. And for me, that always came back to a time in my life when I was working with children and how the children responded to me. So I've worked with some of the most challenging cases in the country. And honestly, I couldn't be happier with the work that I do. And it's all because I'm working in a gifted area. It's not always easy, but it's where I'm gifted. And though it's not easy, it's what I'm built to do. So that's where my success comes from. And acknowledging that probably about 15 years ago, that's when I really started to create my specialization and hone in on the area that God told me to focus on, being successful, creating templates for others to follow, and also just being present and responsive to my clients' needs. That's pretty much how I came into it. I come from a very large family of social workers and business owners. And so we've always had a lot of children in our family. So for me, that was just a natural inclination to work with children and families. As an educator, I always knew that you couldn't positively impact the life of a child without working with the adult in their lives. And that meant I had to do something a little different because I didn't like working with adults. I didn't see the risks, the benefits. I didn't see the results. I didn't see the cohesiveness of working with adults for me. Mm-hmm. So when I Well, when I finally had a conversation within my own mind and said, go the path of least resistance and most success and most glory to God, that's when I found my giftedness was truly opening doors for me. There's typically always a wait list for a behavioral specialist, particularly in the Midwest.
Because you know they got some bad kids in the Midwest. Sorry, I didn't say that out loud. My bad. But I know we have to take a commercial break, but I'm going to leave you guys with my question that's going to come up after the break. So I'm glad to hear you guys all have a religious background, but with the stigma of therapy, how do you combat the naysayers, especially the ones who say that therapy is devilish and witchcraft? Because, you know, people act like Jesus and counselors don't go together. I mean, God gives you gifts, but when we come back from break, we want to tackle that question because the stigma is real. So we'll be right back with more of the Empowered Hour with these lovely therapists. So stay tuned.
It's obvious, it's obvious. Sensational. body back shots. Body. Give her body back shots. Body. Oh, 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 oh. Back shit the way I jump for NYC. Yeah. Big girl, she carry the best I see. Yeah. Steadily ready, me, I see. Sweet in my belly, you're like cake, I see. Something jelly. Eggplant emoji. So train when I slide it. Now she watching me like daddy. Better than the internet. I'm a presidential if you suffer to lose. Goody goody, tell you goody goody bam bam. I need you now now. Put me on fire like a lantern. Can you taste so divine? And I wonder why you so sensational. What did I do?
Are you ready for the ultimate radio experience? Tune in to JQLM Radio now. From gospel vibes to Christian rap, hip-hop, pop, R&B, and smooth jams. We've got it all covered. Get hooked on real voices, raw entertainment, and super relevant topics that'll keep you glued. Don't bother touching that dial. We've got the perfect soundtrack for every moment. Start your day right and groove into the night with JQLM Radio. Download the JQLM Radio app, listen on Alexa, TuneIn app, Simple Radio app, or visit egoentertainmentnet.com/JQLM-radio. Your irresistible music journey starts here. JQLM Radio. Real, raw, relevant, and dope. Music. Track. By Dmitry Kolesnikov on Pixabay.com.
All right, we are back. So, Athena, what was your question again so everybody can remember?
So, my question was, with the stigma of therapy, what are you guys doing that can combat the naysayers? Because I work with seniors every day. And, you know, they grew up with that mantra, what goes on in this house stays in this house. Therapy is devil's work. You know, I don't want nobody playing in my head. And I try to tell them all the time, I said, y'all, I don't need mental health therapy because, first of all, but I can't say that on the air. But anyway, they have some things they need to discuss. And they all have gone through so many things, but they still are holding on to that old school mantra. That, you know, therapy is not what they need. They just need Jesus. But Jesus, as well as other people in the Bible, had skill sets that were given to them by God. So why wouldn't a therapist have that skill set to help them? So that.
That's a good question. I would say probably, well, there's actually two scriptures that I think of, well, several, but the main ones is there's one in Proverbs 24 for people that are thinking, like, how is this biblical or whatnot? But Proverbs 24:6 says, so don't go into a war without wise counsel. Victory depends on having many advisors. And then there's, of course, another scripture.
Dumas, but I am so goofy. So just get used to me. But
it's so good.
Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
And then another one will perish due to lack of knowledge. So, like, there's tons of scriptures, Old and New Testament, that talk about the need for wise counsel. And then I think it was said earlier about, like, understanding your gifting and your calling. And, you know, God calls us to different things. And when we think about just the history, I've talked about this before, but when we think about the history of, you know, people of color, particularly Black people in America, and we have to understand the history where some of this comes from, which, you know, from slavery coming over here to, you know, America, and just how there's always been kind of like the oracle, the person who has been the person who has, like, who can read, who can speak, who has all the things. And they're kind of like the pastor, basically, which is where we get this whole pastoral, you know, like deacon, you know, pastor, prophetess, you know, all these titles. But at the end of the day, it's about understanding like your calling, and in that, being able to say, you know, here's the specialty, which is what we all been, you know, saying what we all have passions or specialties in. But I also think too, like I was asked once, am I a Christian therapist or am I a therapist who's Christian? And my response to that has been, I'm a therapist who's a Christian. And I'm a Christian first, but as I use my background and also because I've taken seminary classes, I take all of that information and put it into that with my schooling. And I use that and with my experience to be able to guide my clients. And one of the things particularly that I've noticed over the years is, you know, particularly Black women who are in education or entrepreneurs and business owners tend to come to me. And so a lot of my clients lately have been Black women in entrepreneurship or education because of the amount of trauma that they've experienced in those sectors. And so being able to come out of the dark space to say, like, what's said here stays here is, you know, it's slowly being broken. That stigma is slowly being broken. But I find that more Black women are being more vocal about it because they understand like the repercussions of if they don't. And that's something that I think from a biblical standpoint, but also just from a practical standpoint, whether someone is a believer or not, when you look at it, how to break those stigmas by being able to, you know, talk about experience, but then also for someone who may be a believer or Christian that doesn't see how biblically that works, to even be able to share it from that perspective, from what scripture even says about what wise counsel is and what it looks like and how it helps us to heal and to find progress in our lives.
Thank you.
Andre,
what about you?
Well, honestly, I did have to learn early on not to be combative with people because your beliefs are your beliefs and you're entitled to those things. And one thing that I knew I was created to do was to educate. And so as an educator, as a counselor, my role is to make sure that you have the knowledge or the understanding of the implications of the services that I provide. And honestly, I try to make sure that there's a full understanding. And as long as we have similar expectations, then we're good. And with some people, you have to be able to show them from a biblical perspective, but you also have to be able to show them the practical application of it. And oftentimes, particularly in our community, because we have had that common conversation, oh, what goes on in this house stays in this house, or nobody runs my house but me, I'm kind of thought, then it takes a lot more patience on the side of the therapist in order to make headway. But also, I'm starting to work within the Haitian Creole population a lot more. And culturally, we have to be sensitive about those things as well, because we do all have different beliefs in certain areas. And it's important to acknowledge that belief, but also be willing to take the time to educate about what is and what isn't. And I think that helps with achieving goals when it comes to working with clients on different behaviors or situations that are going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important piece for me, just the education.
Okay. Marcy, what about you?
I think when it comes to the aspects of people recognizing how they can utilize therapy in a way that is effective for them, I think it first for me as a therapist, it falls on me just being open and willing to hear out what it is that they are wanting to get from this process. Also, if they are invested and being able to see a different perspective, because we all have blind spots, you know, and even when you're at work, you have someone to come up, you have your supervisor or someone, or you, if you work by yourself and you're an entrepreneur, there's always times where getting a different perspective, different viewpoint on where you are in your life will help you to be able to be open to more options and solutions. You know, I think also being able to recognize that there is always going to be a degree of questioning. I'm a hypnotherapist, you know, so I get this question a lot, like, oh my gosh, you're a hypnotherapist, you can make me do things I don't want to. And I'm like, no, I could, but no. But it's really about just giving people as much information as well as meeting them where they are to be able to open those doors to having that connection. And that's why I base everything that I do on is that connection first. Being able to connect with people on a level to know that it's not about necessarily trusting me. It's about trusting where you want to go and understanding that it's going to take more than what you've done in the past to get you where you want to go in the future. You know, even in your present moment, in order to open yourself up to a new way to connect to the things that you want to have in your life, you have to get to this place of, I love the scripture, and all of your getting, get understanding, right? In order to do that, it takes more than just leaning on what you've already done, you know? And mm-hmm. So all of that together, I think, helps that conversation to move along, but it's always at the pace of the person that's in front of you. And I don't mind having that conversation. I don't mind opening the door up to seeing that person's perspective, because we all hold old things, you know, with us, and we carry them. And we believe that we're reliving them every day, that this is how we survive. This is how we create our communities. This is how we protect ourselves. And sometimes we have to break that. We have to break open and break those outer shells in order to get to what is necessary to discuss what healing looks like for that person. And a therapist helps with that, because it's not about us giving you advice. It's about you being able to reflect what's already in you, what you have the capacity for, what your talents are, what your capabilities are, what your strengths are, where you're resilient, and bring that all to the forefront so you can be more conscious of those things as you move forward, you know? And that's where I like to start that conversation. Where are you now? Where would you like to go? And what are you already doing? And are you going to invite a different way of seeing that so that you can get to where you want to go?
Very, very, very powerful stuff. I know we have to take our last commercial break. Well, the show goes so fast, but we'll be right back with more of the Empowered Hour. Stay tuned.
Okay, so we are back. I feel like there's so many things I want to ask you guys, but we just don't have the time to. I will ask this. What do each of you do to kind of help you relax and unwind? Because therapists have to take care of themselves also, because you're hearing a lot of stuff, and, you know, we have to worry about secondary trauma and all those things. So how do each one of you take care of you? I'm trying to think who we want to start with. Trish, we'll start with you.
Okay. Well, the first thing is I write a lot. Like, I've been doing it since I probably knew how to write. So much so that, I stopped journaling, per se, just like having diaries and things like that. I stopped that probably even in college, but I saved every last one of them. So a joke that I have is I have it in a safe place where no one knows, but when I die, you'll at least know half of my life. But I say that to say that that's really, writing poetry became a passion and an outlet of mine really in college. I was a part of a group called Haraka Writers in college at Purdue, and that's what really got me passionate about writing. And then when I started performing it and I realized like that was what was helping people heal, then I really started realizing like, oh, okay, so I need to like lean into this, because a lot of times what I was writing about and stressed out about wasn't just for me. It was for other people because they could relate. And so that's what led me to publish my first book called Gratitude is Always in Season. And I go into that often. I, you know, look at my own journal often and go back to some poems that led me to, you know, need to process some hard things in my life. So between writing and then also being anywhere in nature, water is definitely kind of my safe space. Anywhere that I can be near a lake or any kind of body of water, and then massages. Those are probably my top three things that I would say that are my go-tos to unwind and help me to decompress from doing therapy sessions with other people. And then, of course, you know, spending time with safe people. And I say that because not everybody's safe. Mm-hmm. Spending time with safe people and then prayer. Those are my go-tos.
I love it. I love it. Marcy, what about you? Marcy?
Sorry, my phone locked up on me. you know, for me, self-care is not just about like going to a spa or, you know, getting your nails done, things like that. Those typical things we believe, you know, those external factors. I really take it into consideration that every moment that I'm spending in my life has to be conscious, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing for me that I do is just, okay, how can I be conscious of what I'm doing in this moment? How can I recognize the richness of this moment? How, even when I'm working with a client and like you said, you can, some things may get incited while you're working with the client, you know, feelings and stuff, and still being fully present with what's going on with me, even in that moment. So I don't have to carry everything. You know, it's not my job to do that. It's not my job to carry what that person is thinking or feeling. It's my job just to be understanding of where they are to help them see where they're trying to go. And so for me, even after session, before the session, is I used to do this thing where I'm like, okay, I got to get ready for my client and do this and do that and be totally prepared and stuff. But then I realized that was stressing me out. So I was like, that's not the kind of present I want. And I would tell my kids I'll have to play with them later or talk to them later because I'm about to go into a session. And then I realized I just sat there one day and my daughter was like, Mom, can you play with us for 5 minutes? And I was like, sure, why not? I'll just play with you, you know. And I was totally engaged with my kids for 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes, not an exaggeration. And it was so uplifting. My energy was so high. I was so, you know, just enthusiastic because of just being in that moment and being able to experience that for myself. I moved that into the session and the energy of the session shift. It was fulfilling for that client and for myself because I was able to use the capacity of what I was already experiencing and then able to take it to the other, to another place, you know. And I love that capacity awareness that I really center on as a part of what I call my self-care. It's just looking at the holistic place that I am in that moment and really being fully invested, you know. And that keeps my energy up. That keeps the feeling up. That keeps me exactly where I need to be.
Okay. That's how you are. Yeah, but I'm on board. Show's about the end of it. Oh, sorry, go ahead. 60 seconds or less.
Well, for me, I do a massage, a facial, a manicure, a pedicure, the gun range, and skating. And I travel internationally. Not necessarily in that order, but those are my go-tos.
That's very eclectic. I love
I love that too.
I love it. Okay, guys.
I like it. That's a whole other show. Dating,
bro. A whole other show. So we got 2 minutes left. So I need y'all at 30 seconds or less. I know that's not that much time. Therapists like to talk if y'all haven't learned that about therapy. I want y'all to let people know about your other businesses, let them know whether or not you're taking clients.
and how they can reach you. I know that's a lot of stuff to try to cram in 30 seconds, but I have faith in you. Andre, I'm going to let you go first.
You can reach me by contacting Renata or Athena at Empowered Living. And yeah, what else do you see? Hey, I don't have any availability right now. However, in the fall, I typically have a couple of openings. Have a great day and take care of yourself.
Look at you. Look at you. Okay. That was pretty much everything. We will go Marcy.
I, like I said before, I also do hypnotherapy. I'm a Reiki master. I do spiritual coaching. I'm an intuitive coach. My business is called Finally Be. You can find me on Instagram, Finally Be Unique, or Marcy Grayson on all other platforms. And what I do, I work with people to help them to find the solutions to make their life richer. We use a lot of capacity building and awareness. And, you know, I just want people to know that they make sense right where they are.
Awesome, awesome. And Patrice, you got this. 30 seconds. Go.
Okay. You can, of course, reach me through Renata and Athena. Through Empowered Living. You can also reach me through my website, which is inspiredonpurposeservices.com. And if you're interested, I am taking clients. You can fill out the form there under the Contact Us tab. You can find me on social media under Inspired on Purpose. And I hope that you continue to live inspired on purpose.
Okay. Yeah, they're good. But thank y'all for coming on the show today. We definitely have to do a part two where we're going to have some more specific rapid-fire questions. So stay tuned for that. But as always, find Empowered Living at www.empoweredlivinginc.net. And we can link you to these individuals if you've missed how to reach them separately. Anything I missed, Renata?
No, that's it. Just go to our website to sign up for the newsletter and all the things.
Yes, because we will do a part two, part three, part four. So we have some amazing people in our lives. So we definitely want to share that information with you all. So until next time, we'll have a great rest of your week. And remember to take all these tips that you receive for free. So